Hello, I'm Emma Desi, and welcome to another episode of Turning Readers into Writers. If you're brand new here, welcome, and here's what you need to know. This is a community that believes you are never too old to write your first novel. No matter what you've been up to until now, if you're ready to write your book, I'm ready to help you reach the end. I focus on helping you find the time and confidence to begin your writing journey, as well as the craft and skills you need to finish the book. Each week I interview debut authors, editors and industry experts to keep you motivated, inspired and educated on all things writing, editing and publishing. If you want to catch up, head on over to emmadesi.com where you'll find a wealth of information and tools to help you get started. Before we dive in, this week's episode is brought to you by my free cheat sheet, 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write. In this guide, I give you 30 ways that you can find time to write in the small gaps that appear between the various errands and tasks and responsibilities that you have in your day-to-day life. Now, you might be thinking that you don't have any time to spare, but I can guarantee these top tips will give you writing time you didn't think you had. If you thought writing always involved a pen and paper or a keyboard, think again. If you thought you needed at least an hour at a time to write your manuscript, I help you reframe that. You won't be disappointed. Get your free copy of 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write by going to emmadesi.com/30top tips. Okay, let's dive in to today's episode. Celeste Stacy is a transgender woman who lives in Ohio. Although she has lived there all of her life, she has travelled abroad extensively, and as such, she has a very broad view of the world and the people who live here. Her belief is that we are all children of the earth and that everyone should live in peace and harmony. Celeste initially wanted to join the medical profession, but crossover into the arts first came with acting. She starred in a low-budget horror film yet to be released, but then found her way into writing when her English instructor, who fell in love with her short stories, encouraged Celeste to pursue writing instead. She currently shares her life with her loving wife, their three adult sons and grandkids. Her debut novel, SAI, Secret Agents of Illuminati, Book 1, was released in April of this year. Let's hear more about how Celeste got started and what inspired her novel. Well, Celeste, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I wonder if you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into writing.
I got into writing about 7 years ago. I was going to school, college, and my English comp teacher, she was really liking my stories, and I was putting out these stories like on every weekly basis. And she's like, "Where are you coming up with this stuff?" And I go, "Well, I just have an active imagination." And she's like, "What are you going to college for?" And I was going to school at the time for medical support. And she says, "That's the wrong profession for you." And it's like, "Oh, really?" And then I kind of just like put her, you know, comment off to the side. And then as school drug on, it went in the year. Someone approached me when I was in the cafeteria and they said, "Hey, you want to be in a short horror short?" So I said, "Yeah, right." And then he gave me the script and I looked at it and then I said, "Okay." And I did it. And then I kind of got into, you know, filmmaking, and then I got more into screenplay writing. And then from there, I started sending my screenplays into contests to be, you know, judged. And that really helped my writing style. And then it's like, I was trying to sell my screenplays to Hollywood, which is like really hard to do. It's like, you got to know people on the inside to do that. So I decided just last fall to take my screenplays and use it like an outline and turn it into a book after seeing some YouTube videos on how to turn screenplays into books. So December, I started writing SAI, Secret Agency Illuminati, from a screenplay format into a book format. And then I published it in about mid-April.
Of this year, that's right. So you published
of this year. Yeah. I had it mostly written, and then the pandemic happened, and then I the overtime at my day job kicked in. So I took some time off, vacation time, and then I finished the book, and then I published it, and then I went back to work, and it's like been trying to find free time here and there. But I did, I left my day job of 23 years just in September. September 4th was the day I left, was my last day, because I wanted to be an author.
I'm going to come back to that. I do want to ask you about that, the realities of being a full-time writer. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Before we do, though, I'd love you, I'm really interested. I didn't know that you had done screenwriting as well. So I wondered what for you was the kind of biggest difference between writing a screenplay and writing a manuscript?
The biggest difference is with a book format, you have to fill in all the details. I mean, you got to fill it in. I know with SAI, Secret Agents Illuminati, I use more of the form. It's not more, it's book format, but it's more of the old radio programs kind of thing.
And so did you,
it's got more dialogue, I guess I'm trying to say. It's told more in the dialogue and then.
And so I guess in terms of structure, is it very similar that you have something exciting that happens at the beginning, that inciting incident, and then do you build the tension in the same way till you get to the climax at the end?
Yeah. Basically what I did is I took my screenplay and used it as the outline, and I just filled in all the blanks.
Okay.
Because with a screenplay, I don't know if you've read a screenplay, but a screenplay format, you've got the scene heading, and then you got a little bit of action and dialogue, and then more action and then more dialogue. And all that other stuff in between is filled out in the movie or TV show by a crew and other departments. So it's a team effort to do a screenplay, and it's
a solo effort. Yeah, it's us and the Garretts on our own.
Yeah.
So tell us about Secret Agents of the Illuminati. Where did that idea spring from?
I came up with this idea for the story about 2 years ago, and I was creating a web series for it, and that's where I got it from. But originally I was going to do a spoof comedy series on the old 80s action shows like Charlie's Angels, A-Team, and all them. And I was kind of like, you know, going to spoof them, but my book more or less spoofs Marvel. It does have a little bit of Charlie's Angels flair and A-Team flair, but it's like really spoofing the Marvel Studios.
And so tell us a little bit about it. How does the story start?
It starts that they're a alien race from another galaxy, and they're flying through, and they drop out of hyperspace into the asteroid belt and crash into an asteroid, and then they abandon ship and come to Earth. And then because they came to Earth when everyone was really primitive, they basically set up the society of today. It's like, you know, the conspiracy theorists, you know, Illuminati, mine's Illuminati. And it's like the people are from, you know, Nardi. And it's just, it's comedy. It's like, you know, tongue in cheek.
I like it. So, I've never written comedy. I imagine that to be very, very difficult. What did you find to be the most challenging aspect of writing the book?
The dynamics of the characters and how they interact, and the dialogue is not using the same words to progress the characters' dialogue with the other characters and interactions. And it's like, yeah, I was doing a lot of editing because I was finding myself a lot of the dialogue was starting, the conversations was like turning out the same. And it's like my spouse, Chris, she said, it's like a lot of these conversations are the same. You got to mix it up. So I started changing it. And so
that's interesting then. The type of dialogue that you write for a screenplay would be quite different than for a fiction book. So that, even though the the gist of the conversation might be the same. The actual dialogue needed to be changed up a bit.
And then I have to fill in the blanks of, you know, what's going on in around the conversation, around the people, and, you know,
Okay. So your book is sort of sci-fi comedy, I think you described it as.
Yeah.
So you've had to do quite a bit of world building. How did you go about doing that? What was the starting point for this new world?
Well, in the book, it takes place in modern times. So it'll have flashbacks, but it pretty much just, you know, today, what's going on in today's world.
Right. Okay. So the aliens, we're not transported to their world at all. It's all taking place on Earth.
Not yet. We will eventually, but it's taking place. It's taking place on Earth.
Right. Okay.
In present.
Will we see more of the alien world in? Because it's part of a series, isn't it? So will we meet the alien world
eventually?
Eventually.
I have book two coming out in about a month, and that one has some timey-wimey kind of stuff where they go back in time a few years, but
not to the alien world. So have you been giving thought to that yet, or not quite yet, to that new world, that world building?
Yes, but not yet. It's going to be in a few books from now. And I've started a companion series called Tales of the Illuminati. And that's going to take place from past missions. And the first book for that, which I'm about a third of the way, that's going to be like a Western. It takes place 100 years ago in the West, like 1865. So, but yeah, on the first book, Secret Agent, it's assembling the team of girls, because the first team, they ended up being turned into zombies, and they're in barrels in the hangar in storage, so to say. So we got a new team and they're being trained, and they're like, you know, got some really good characters going on.
So you mentioned earlier that you took the plunge and you decided to go full-time writer.
Yep.
But then you've just mentioned there that you've gone back to a paid job. So tell us about why you decided to take that plunge, what it was like moving into being a full-time writer, and then kind of what's happened since then.
I worked in a food plant, and we had came off our busy season, and we had like 2 weeks where we were working just normal 8 hours, and then the pandemic happened, and then the overtime kicked in, and then it was like working 14 hours a day every day, and the job was like 40 minutes from my house. So I was like basically getting up at 5 a.m., getting home at like 9:30, eating dinner at 10, go to sleep, rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. And it was getting to be crazy. And I used up all my time to take off to finish book one. And I was telling Chris, it's like, I can't do this anymore. It's driving me nuts. I want to be a writer, and I can't finish book two working these hours. And thanks to the overtime, I had a lot of money saved up. So I'm living off my savings while I write my books. And September 4th was my last day. And it was like, it took me a good month to just decompress from working in a food plant and putting all the hassles and the stress and the headaches of that job behind me, and then focus on the book. Mm-hmm. Now, we did take a vacation in September, and for our anniversary, our 32nd anniversary, 31st anniversary,
happy anniversary,
31st anniversary, and we went to Hocken Hills in Ohio. We rented a cabin in the woods, and we just stayed up there, and I just focused on writing, and Chris just focused on reading books, and because she's an office type worker, and so I let her do her thing, and I just wrote, and I finished the book and all that, so that really helped.
So is that being edited right now?
No, it's waiting to be edited. It's supposed to go to the editing service next week, but Chris did read it a couple of days ago, and she says you might want to change some things here and fix this and fix the grammar. And it's like, so I did that and I was just waiting. But it usually takes about a week or two with the editing service to get it edited and it'll be ready to publish on Amazon.
Wonderful. Well, so, let's have a, if you don't mind, just delving a little bit more into your full-time writing life, because going, as you say, going from paid job to a day
no job.
You're no job. Well, a day that you're in charge of, you're the boss now, you have to be, give yourself the discipline. Did it take a bit of time to transition into that? And what does an average writing day look for you now?
Yeah, it's I got to have more discipline. I got to, you know, stay off YouTube. But my typical day is I still get up early, about 7 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, breakfast, coffee, get that out of the way, cleaned up. And that's important, you know, just prepare like you're going to a job, but you're not. And then I come to my desk out here and I do a lot of promoting of my book on social media, on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all the book related, author related forums on Facebook. I'm on all those. And then I get that. I spend about 2 hours a day on that. And that's really helped my book sales. It's just, you know, networking with other like-minded people and put the word out. And then I do my own website editing, and I've been building my website for the book, secretnardi.com. And then I spend the rest of the day to about 5 o'clock writing, or when Chris gets home, about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
That's interesting. So you find you're more productive or more creative in the afternoon?
Yes. Yes, I spend my mornings with, you know, social media, then I eat lunch, and then from after lunch and on, and I before that, I'll go take care of my chickens, because I have chicks. They lay the Easter eggs, so.
Very nice. Are you sort of in a rural area?
Yes, I live out in the country. We own 6 acres, so I live out in the country. It's very peaceful.
Beautiful. Now, you did, I want to come back to the marketing side, but I just wanted to talk about the publishing as well. How have you found kind of being the publisher of your own books? And have you decided to go with sort of KU, with Kindle Unlimited, or are you publishing wide with your book?
For the first book, I published it exclusively with Amazon and their Kindle Unlimited and their audiobook on Audible Unlimited thing. So you can actually, if you have memberships in the Audible Club or the Kindle Unlimited Club, you can read my book or listen to my book for free.
Fantastic. I'll definitely be linking to it in the show notes, don't worry. Now, you've mentioned audio, so I know that you've made an audio book, an audio version of your book. Yes. Tell me about that experience. What was that like?
When I did it in February, I started it late February. I went to ACX, the website ACX for Amazon, and went on there. It's really straightforward. They have some tutorials, but it's really straightforward. And you create the job, and then you put the title, and then you put in for accepting the auditions. And then I started listening to the auditions as they came in, which was a good 15, 16 people. And then I found the one, his name's John Moriarty, and he's really good.
So that's it. I didn't know they did that they help you find the narrator as well.
Yep.
And so how long did it take him to narrate the book?
About a week.
And then once the recording is done, because presumably does he just go off and do it by himself, or how does that work?
He does it in his own home or recording studio or whatever. But it's really good, high quality MP3 type files. And then every night I would get a new file, and then I would listen to it, and then I would approve it. So yeah, that's why it went. And it's like every day was one or two new chapters.
I see. So then does ACX hold the the file in the cloud, if you like, and then you have it there accessible, and then it's distributed from ACX, or did they do the distribution themselves?
Yeah, they have it distributed on their website, on the audible.com. I also have files on my computer, the original files, but it's distributed via audible.com.
Okay. Okay.
But if you go on to Amazon and go to, you look on my book, you'll have the three different formats it's available. It's ebook, paperback, and Audible. And then you click on the Audible link and it'll take you to there.
Fantastic. That was so exciting. Really exciting.
I know. Yeah.
Now, marketing. You mentioned marketing before, that you spend quite a bit of time on social media. Have you found either a platform or a system that works really well for you? Because you said that it's really helped with your book sales, which is fantastic. So I know that there'll be others kind of wanting to learn from you about how do you generate book sales through social media or other platforms.
Yeah, I'll put ads out on Amazon. I have an ad campaign going, and people that have their ebook, their e-reader lock screen, I'm advertising, and it'll come up randomly for that. And that's one form of advertisement. And then there's through the Google SEO thing. It's you pay the get bumped up in search results, and Amazon's got like tens of thousands of authors and or books, and it's just like, yeah, claw your way up to the top. I think the last star rank or book ranking was like 155,000. Wow. That's my ranking on my book. It's like, I'm just clawing my way up.
Yeah. Well, that's really good.
I found it just, talking to people in the author groups and the reader groups and distributing my Amazon link on those groups. And doing author reviews and, swapping author reviews with other authors. That really helps too, because you got to have, you got to have reviews on your book. And if you don't have reviews, people are going to say, well, I ain't going to read this. No one's read it. And it's like, go buy. But if they see it, I'm like, oh, this one's got a lot of reviews. And it's like, so they'll look at it. So that's a thing, is getting the reviews. And
so who do you go through, or which websites do you use to get those author reviews?
There's Facebook and their forums. And then I'm just now starting to see there's other, like PubBub is one. And they have author reviews kind of things you could talk to. And then there's a few others I can't think of. But mostly it's been just the Facebook forum groups talking to other authors.
It's the platform I use the most as well. I find that it's funny how everybody gravitates to different things, don't they? But Facebook, I don't know if it's my age, but I certainly find it just the easiest to navigate. Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Oh, Instagram is a really good platform for advertising, because I did a freebie event in celebration of Prime Day, Monday and Tuesday, and my book was free for 2 days. And I wrote up a thing and I put it on my Facebook page, on a lot of the forums, and that generated some sales leads. And then I put it on Twitter, and that generated some free sales. But putting it on Instagram, my Instagram account, that really generated a lot of sales. Well, they're sales, but they're free. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's getting people into your stories and your characters so that they
just to get them to read the book, and then hopefully they'll come back and they'll buy the second book and the third book and on.
So, yeah, yay.
Yeah.
Now, you've described Secrets Agents of the Illuminati as a dime store type novel. So does that have an impact on the type of covers that you use or the imagery that you use in your adverts?
Yes. It will for Tales of the Illuminati, because that's going to be 100 pages or less. Whereas my it's a novella, but it's only going to max out at 200 pages. So I think the first one was 138 pages, and the second one was like 168 pages. So the second book is a little bit longer. It's got a little bit more story to it. But they're all novellas, because novellas is, you know, shorter than a regular novel. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've been hearing a lot of the people like preferring the novellas, and it's like they can read them on the airport and on the airplane or on the train or buses. And it's like, just, they just want something quick.
Oh. Yeah. So, no, there does seem to be, I think now that we've got the, now that the indie world is here, we can see that people like all sorts of different types of stories, different formats. We don't need to stay to the old traditional expectations of what a novel is. What was I going to say? There was a question that came up there and I've totally forgotten what it was now. I was going to ask, so do you plot your stories, or are you more of a discovery writer and you have a character and you see what happens?
Do what again?
Or do you have, you know, do you plot your novels, or are you more of a discovery writer? And so you maybe have a character in your head and you just see what happens, or do you
prefer more discovery? Because I'll go through and I'll read up of what I've written so far, and then I'll just kind of like play out in my head and daydream, and just like it's kind of exciting, because even I don't even know where the story's going. And it's like, go down this one way. And then that's like, okay. And well, maybe I'll do this differently. And then it's like, and it just unloads in like a movie in my head. And it's like, oh, that was really cool. I better write that down. So.
Yeah, that's what I like as well. I'm also a discovery writer, and I do love those moments of surprise when you think, oh my goodness, I didn't know that.
No, I'll be laughing. I'll be laughing. And then Chris is like, what are you laughing about? My story. So, yeah.
And so what are you working on at the moment? The two novellas?
Yeah. Right now I'm working on Tales of the Luminati. And I do have another series that I'm going to start. It was my first feature length screenplay. And it's called Martian Twilight and the Niche of Time. And that's a new book series. Now that is, you know, fantasy. It's taken like, it's like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and like ancient, old Zeus type Greek movies, like, you know, Clash of the Titans.
Uh-huh.
And I'm putting that into it. That's going to be a feature length, or, you know, full novel series. So
I love your sort of inspiration for a lot of these. I get the feeling that maybe you're a sort of big fan of these sort of 1950s type B movies with, you know.
Yeah, I did like that. Saturday Creature Features. Yeah, I love those. I do have other stories that I've written out, and they're different genres. I've got some other that's like, it's like a noir type. It's a 1920s. That one's called Mike Sledge in the Big Picture, and that's more like a Humphrey Bogart and kind of story. And it's just quitting my factory job and work and writing full time. It's like all these stories are going to start coming out, and I'm start publishing them as, you know, stories. So
very exciting. You have got
a lot of stories in my head.
Well, yeah. Listen, we're kind of at the top of our time together. So where can listeners find out more about your current books and also about your future series?
SecretNarty.com is for the current series. For Tales and Secret Agents that's the website. But I am going to create another website. It's going to be with my publishing, Moco Media. So I get that up, and then, but right now it's just like a Facebook and on secretnarty.com. Oh, and also, you know, you can find me on my social medias like Twitter and Instagram, which is CelesteStacy67. And then my email, CelesteStacy67@gmail. So.
Fantastic. I'll put them in the show notes so people can reach out if they want to.
Yeah. Well, just stay tuned. It's like, I'm just getting started.
Yes, it does feel like that, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate
talking
to you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Celeste Stacey. One of the things that I got from that was really the love that she has for the writing that she does. It all seems like a lot of fun for her. She enjoys the spoof and the comedy element of it. And as a result, she's got so many ideas for future books and future stories. So I really loved hearing about that side of things. The other thing I took from our chat together was how we can take old stories and retell them in a way that's fresh and new for us in a genre that we like. So, for example, Celeste loves all the sort of B-movies from the 1950s and 60s. And so she takes a lot of those ideas and those storylines and she adapts and changes them to fit the kind of stories that she loves to tell. And why not? You know, as they say, there is no new story out there. And if it was good enough for Shakespeare, hey, it's good enough for us. So let me know if you enjoyed the show. Comment below, what were your big takeaways? And I'll see you again next time. Bye.